Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Ihr wollt sicherlich das Problem, dass die Streichung die Anfangsformation gerufen hat. Hier ist die Aufstellung unseres heutigen Gegners aus Freiburg. Die Nummer 1 trägt Alexander Schroh, die 5 hat Manuel Bühl, die 8 Mike Franz, die 11 Luca Waldschmidt, die 15 Pascal Stenzel, die 18.
My name is Carsten Kramer. I'm the Chief Marketing Officer of Borussia Dortmund. Very, very glad to do this job since 10 years and hope that I will be able to do it another 10 years.
So you've been at Borussia Dortmund for nearly 10 years now, Carsten, and you arrived, I suppose, at a time where the whole world was about to fall in love with Dortmund.
Same to me, but honestly didn't expect that the train was running that fast through our country and also through the whole world. When I signed my contract, it was February 10. We had a roughly estimation that this club has some potential for success and for growth, and that maybe the world is looking for a different club, but we never expected that we will be able to write such a successful, impressive fairy tale story. So I felt in love with the club as well, although I did it many, many years before. But 10 years later, I still can't believe what happened to this club and to me as a representative of Borussia Dortmund.
I mean, it is difficult, isn't it? The further you get down the line to get your head around the fact that Dortmund won successive Bundesligas then and then got to the Champions League final. I think people take that for granted a little bit because Jurgen Klopp is obviously now a world star. When did you first meet Jurgen Klopp and when did you realise that something special was happening with the team?
Well, if you meet Jurgen Klopp, even if it's 10 or 11 years ago, he signed in 8 and I met him first time in 8 or 9, I don't know. He's a character. If you meet him, he's definitely not the normal one. He is very special and he has appearance, he has a character, he has something you can't describe and you can't get in a supermarket. He's able to entertain the people, but he's such a serious and guided guy who knows what he wants. I would say he's a person you're always wondering about. And if you take our claim, echte Liebe, which means real love, Jürgen is the person who was able to fulfill it with life and appearance. And that makes him so special. And glad to know him and glad to be still in contact with him.
So when you look back on your 10 years, how has your job changed? How has the focus of your job changed? And how has the club changed?
Well, I think, honestly, nothing really has changed. As long as you care on the care characteristics of our club, as long as you care on the core business, which is football, maybe try to be as puristic as possible. It's not really difficult. I try to be as humble and down to earth as possible. We don't want to create a new Borussia Dortmund. We want to be as authentic as possible. We are still the club from Dortmund. We don't want to describe or develop a new story. We just try to tell more and more people the Dortmund story, which seems to be a unique story. And the more people we are able to attract, the more powerful Dortmund becomes. But it's not the way that we try to define a new Dortmund, that we define new targets. We just want to be as authentic as possible. We try to race our race against ourselves. Never try to take over someone and because then you compare yourself always with someone else. If we want to compete with Bayern Munich, we definitely will fail. Yeah. And the moment we decided just to focus on ourselves, I think we made the most important step, talking about credibility, talking about sustainability, talking about the loyalty of the people, because then the people got the feeling that we do have a DNA which is not completely independent from the results of the weekend, but which gave the people the feeling that this club has more sense than just winning and losing football games.
And people have always felt that, haven't they? I mean, I know in the time that I've covered the Bundesliga, you've come from a few people from England coming over to Dortmund to get, as you say, that sort of authentic football experience, which is not entirely connected to what's on the pitch. I think it's about the match day, the stadium, the traditions, all those sort of things. But now, you get it's impossible to come from the centre of town to here and not hear English voices, and not hear voices from France and from Norway and Sweden and all these different places.
Well, you answered your own question, I would say, because you described the phenomenon. Tell me any reason why you are interested to meet a guy like me. Without representing Borussia Dortmund, we never would meet. And I think you are maybe fascinated and interested by the Dortmund approach as well. You will see that football in Dortmund is still accessible for all the people. We do have a low pricing, talking about the tickets, talking about food and beverage. We want to make football achievable for the whole society, because we know that football is the glue of the society. This area may be similar to the northern part of England, maybe to Newcastle, Leeds, or even parts of Liverpool and Manchester, lost everything. Industrial revolution took place. We lost coal, steel. We lost just beer, because Dortmund was the home turf of German breweries. And what's still remaining, it's football. So football is Dortmund, BVB is the lighting house. And that makes this club, I guess, so unique, because it has some importance and relevance for the people. And I think even the visitors from abroad get a feeling that the relation between the people and the club is a different one, that whatever we try to reach is the heart of the people. Of course, we need a commercial development. Of course, we need the money of each of the supporters. But it's more important to get their heart. And the closeness between the people and the club is maybe well described by the distance between the audience and the pitch, which is similar to the old English stadiums, where you are very, very close to the pitch, like Highbury or Anfield. Yeah. And that makes Dortmund, in my mind, so special. And that makes Dortmund probably that attractive even for foreigners to come to Dortmund.
So we'll come back to the club and preserving that authenticity, as we were saying, a little bit later. But what about you? You've got a sports marketing background. You were working with Hamburg, and then you were working with Dortmund and came here. And as you said, things on the pitch certainly accelerated for Dortmund quicker than you or anyone else expected. So how has that changed your job day to day? Because there's no getting away from the fact that even if the core of Dortmund has stayed the same, even if the beliefs and the values of the club stays the same.
Sorry for interrupting, but it's so easy. Give yourself the chance to dive into the Dortmund DNA. In the moment you are part of Dortmund, you have no alternative in acting and representing this club. It's something you can't learn, you have to feel. And if you love to express and to experience emotions, it's Dortmund. Let the emotions as close as possible to yourself, and then you are able and it's so easy to work for this club. If you try to avoid it, if you try to become just a business person, then you are definitely a wrong one. Yeah. I give you an example. When we played somewhere in China against Man United, my colleague from Man U was during the game just asking me about social media numbers, awareness, reach, and any business figures or KPIs. When game starts, I'm interested to watch football and to support my team. And this maybe describes the USP in a certain way. And as long as you enjoy the game, as long as you accept that the game is in the center of all your activities, I guess you can avoid some mistakes, and you can, you can feel that Dortmund is special.
But you're trying to market the club internationally, and the Bundesliga is trying to market itself internationally. And as you were saying, like the unique selling point of Dortmund is this place. And when you arrive, when you do that walk up from the station, and you see the people, and you walk through the trees, you understand. But how do you get that across to people, say from China, who might never have the opportunity to come here in person?
First of all, I guess guys like you help us to spread the Dortmund story to a bright audience. So therefore, I'm thankful that media from abroad are interested in Borussia Dortmund. I think we have some attitudes like the yellow wall, like the biggest attendance in the world, like the biggest amount of season ticket holders, that are hard figures the people are wondering about. If they compare us with Real Madrid or Barcelona, and they know, hey, the highest attendance in worldwide football is the Dortmund attendance with more than 80,000. So I think we do have some key facts we can present to the people. And then it's, if we go to China or to other places, it's the way how we treat the people. Of course, we are interested to meet as many people as possible. Might be nicer for the players to be welcomed at the VIP terminal of an airport, but then we don't get in touch to the people. Yes, of course, it's important to win the games, but it's also important to say goodbye to the people in a very certain way. You could separate the training sessions from the audience, but that wouldn't be the Dortmund way. So we try to give the people, wherever we are, the possibility to dive into the Dortmund world, to be as close to the players as possible, and that we spend time with the people. And this is something, in my experience of the last 5 years, when we started our summer tour to Asia, and also the US is something which seems to be still special. Although for me, it's not special. It has to be part of your job.
So you talk about the players helping to communicate the Dortmund way. So when the club's identifying players, does that mean it's not just about being a good player who will fit in socially and do what the coach tells him? Does that player have to take on what the club is about and be able to put that across?
We know that it might be an exception that the player stays from the beginning to the end of his career at one club, even if Dortmund might be able to offer fascinating conditions. But we accept that players move from one club to another one. But I guess in the moment they sign, they know that this is special. And I guess in the moment we sign them, we also care on their character and their not only their performance abilities. It's the mix. And I would say, apart from some exceptions, we have avoided many, many mistakes because we know wherefore the club stands and we know wherefore we are looking. Mm-hmm. And that helps us to, as I said before, to avoid failures and that we can fully confirm that 99% of the players we hired are really identifying and enjoying to play for this club.
Still, how important is a guy, say, like Marco Reus, who's thought of as someone who's authentically Dortmund?
You need guys like him. Aki Watzke said when we extended his contract, he could become the new Uwe Seeler of Borussia Dortmund, which is a nice example, I would say, even if this generation doesn't even know who Uwe Seeler is. But anyway, I think we need people like him. We need the Dortmund people, and very, very helpful to tell this authentic story to the people, and also very, very important for the local people to identify themselves with Borussia Dortmund. Very helpful.
On the other hand, players like Reus, like Mario Götze, all the great players, Lukas Piszczek, who've been through Dortmund through this last decade while you've been here, their success has in turn increased expectation. People don't just see Dortmund as a nice story. They see them as a team who have to compete. So how does that change the way that Dortmund relates to the world?
Well described, that the expectations are increasing, I would say, day by day, not only season by season, but we are never people who complain. We take it as a challenge, and a glass is always half of full and not half of empty. So we are responsible for the higher expectations because we made a good job in the past. So it's something which motivates us to make the next step. That's the motivation for economical and commercial growth, that we try to be to remain competitive. We have teams ahead of us. We want to come a bit closer. We have many of them behind us who try to overtake us. We have to keep them on distance. It's a motivation, and we always take it positive because that's part of the DNA of Borussia Dortmund as well. We take it as a challenge, and we know that although we have some disadvantages in comparison to other clubs and to other areas, to other states, we always take it as a challenge, and we do it by ourselves. No money from abroad, no money from certain countries or political governments. We try to do it by ourselves, and that makes us proud and helps us also to accept at some certain point that we might be not able to reach the Champions League final year by year.
Yeah. So there's an acceptance that there is limits to the model then in that case.
This is very, very important. I would say we never accept the limit, but we know that a limit will come, and that we maybe have to accept it. But on a certain situation in the Bundesliga, of course, we want to become champion. Yeah. But we never would invest more money than we can earn just in order to overtake Bayern Munich, because then we will fail like we did 15 years ago. We were nearly bankrupt. And this is a story we never should repeat. This is an obligation and also a promise to the people that we never will risk the existence of our football club just in order to gain a national or international trophy. That's not the Dortmund approach. approach.
So was that something you had to learn when you came to the club? I mean, I know.
I'm from here, and we are down to earth, and we never would waste money. We never would spend more money than we can earn. We are creative. We know that we have some potentials, and if you are creative, and if you are ambitious, and if you are always motivated, you definitely will find ways to gain money and to increase the probability of being successful. But we have to accept that, of course, compare the Dortmund airport with London or maybe with Madrid. That shows you the difference between Dortmund and the big cities. And we are one of the only clubs, maybe apart from Liverpool and the two Manchester clubs, who are not based in a capital or a big city. So Barcelona, Madrid, Turin, the Milan clubs, Paris, the big London clubs. Compare those scenery, those landscapes with Dortmund, not really comparable.
And is that something you feel you have to explain to an international audience, the fact that... the club was in trouble in recent memory, as you say, and was saved with Aki Vatska at the at the helm. Do people need to be reminded of that sometimes?
Sometimes, yes, and it's also important for us ourselves, because in moments like the recent times where you are successful or maybe not that far behind Bayern Munich, it's dangerous because everyone is thinking, hey, just 2 points missing, now just spend some more money and you will make it. If you have your history still in mind, I'm very, very sure that it helps us to avoid to repeat these mistakes, and this is a story we always tell because we want to be credible and sustainable, and we never will give up the core characteristic of this club.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Now, the Bundesliga is trying to expand internationally and is making great strides in expanding internationally. And something you've talked about before with your colleagues at Bayern is how you work together for the greater good, how you work together to break new territories and get the Bundesliga's message out to different countries and countries that want to become more familiar with it. How naturally does this come, working with Bayern? Because as you say, you are sporting rivals to an extent. Have you always worked together to a certain degree in the name of the Bundesliga?
Yes, we always do, because we do have a really good relation. Bundesliga is representing or DFL is representing Bundesliga on its best. So we try to work as best as possible together. I always would describe it in a way like maybe sometimes we are not sitting in the same boat, but we are definitely sailing on the same lake. Mm. In some area, we know that we might be a bit more powerful if we approach the market by each club, but in other markets we are much stronger if we do it together as a Bundesliga. And as I said before, Bayern Munich won't be able to be overtaken by Borussia Dortmund. So there is, and I'm very, very sure that there is so much space for both of us in the world. And this is something you can tell around the world. Bundesliga is helping us because of the media contracts, which gives us the opportunity to reach more people. So I would say we do have a really, really good relationship. Of course, we are competitors and we want to win the trophies. But talking about internationalization, we are much stronger, much more powerful if we do it together and not as two clubs trying to reach the markets by each self.
And coming from London, I spoke to Robert Klein from the Bundesliga about this a while back.
He's doing an excellent job with his team, so yes. We're really glad. And of course, you're always trying to push the guys forward, talking about the media revenues. But honestly, Christian Seifer as the chief executive and Robert as the CEO of Bundesliga International, they are doing excellent job. And comparing Bundesliga today with Bundesliga 5 or even 10 years ago, we made an enormous step forward. And I'm very, very sure that Premier League and La Liga are watching what Bundesliga is doing.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I was going to say what I was discussing with Robert is back in 2013 when there was the Champions League final between Bayern and Dortmund in London. It was an interesting experience for us because I think as football fans, what you notice living in London, even though there are 10 professional clubs and sometimes 6 or even 7 in the Premier League, you could quite easily go about your day-to-day life in London and never be touched by football. You know, it's quite, because it's such a big city, it's easy for it to not connect with your life if you're not interested in it. But for that week leading up to the final, there was the big festival where the Olympic Park has been built at Stratford in East London. Then you had the final at Wembley itself. You had Dortmund and Bayern fans coming into the city, setting up their own fan events. Tell us about your experience of the Champions League final in London and how that week was.
That was something which still motivates us. It's, I would say, a confirmation for our ambition, not only to play 90 minutes a football game, but to celebrate a final like this. Of course, as I said a couple of times before, football is most important. When game starts, the main focus should be on football. But when do you get the opportunity to come to London to show the world, hey, Dortmund is playing one of the biggest finals in sports events? That was such a highlight that we really love to celebrate the game and the event, and we love to be in London from Friday to Sunday. And of course we were disappointed when we lost on Saturday night, but that doesn't avoid a big party in Dortmund also after coming back, because of our prideness to reach the final. Even the way how we lost the final was a very sad moment, but it's part of the Dortmund DNA also to accept the loss without resignation and always annoying and complaining about the loss. That's not our way. And for the development of the club, the final was a very, very important step, even the way how we get along with the situation that we didn't win the trophy.
But the fact that it made, not just that it was a huge sporting event, but the fact that it made such a cultural impact in one of the biggest cities in the world. Was that one of the things that got you guys talking at board level that how strong you and Bayern can be when you work together?
Yeah. It was to attract so many people, and again, like that a guy like you is interested to talk to me. You have so many football entities. It's most of them are not clubs but entities. You could do so many of your podcasts in your own country and at Premier League that you are interested to come to Bundesliga and to talk to a marketing guy like me. Makes me proud and shows me that our story seems to attract the people around the world.
Now, we talked about Bayern being on a different level, and that's undeniable, both currently and in the history of German football over the last 40 years or so. How different is your approach internationally to Bayern's, given that part of their way of marketing themselves can be based around their superstars, because they have, I think we can say objectively, more recognizable superstar players. So how does it differ the way you approach things to them?
First of all, whatever we do has not the background that we try to differentiate our brands from others. Right. Second, we care on ourselves. We always raise our own reins. It doesn't mean that we ignore others, that we do not benchmark other clubs, but we focus on Dortmund. And what I'm trying to explain to you is just the Dortmund approach. If another club would ask me to give some recommendation, I wouldn't be able to give recommendations because I'm just talking about Borussia Dortmund. Whatever I just told you, in my mind, fits 100% to the Dortmund approach. And the way to develop Dortmund is to educate and to develop young players to superstars. We won't be able to hire the superstars, but as long as we want to create the superstars like Pulisic now playing for Chelsea, like Jadon Sancho, that's the Dortmund approach. And as a challenger, as someone who's on its way to the top, we have a different approach, which again fits as an addition to the number one in your market. So therefore, I'm very sure that Dortmund and Bayern makes German football and Bundesliga, including the national team, very, very attractive and competitive. And therefore, I wouldn't compare ourselves with Borussia Dortmund, with Bayern Munich, sorry.
And when you talk about bringing up young players, that is a huge part of Dortmund's image. One of those, Jadon Sancho, who's grown and become.
Do you know where Robert Lewandowski scored his first goals in Bundesliga?
Tell us.
I think it's the club I'm representing. So even Bayern Munich should be thankful that we educate players like him, Mats Hummels and Mario Götze as well, before they went to Bayern Munich. So I think the way we develop the players seems to be not the wrongest one.
No, for sure. And Sancho has clearly responded to that image in making the choice to come here in the first place. And I think in a way that Sancho's chosen to come here. I mean, he comes from just down the road from where I'm from, and my children and local children have him as a big hero. Yeah. In South London. And I think the interesting thing is, for me, the way that children perceive football now, that of course, like when I take my kids to school, they have Tottenham and Liverpool shirts in the training in the playground. But you will also see in the playground, in the park, Paris Saint-Germain shirts, Barcelona shirts, Bayern shirts, Dortmund shirts. I mean, in terms of him making that choice, I think it's because for English children, I think Dortmund are as familiar to them as Liverpool and as Tottenham and all those teams in a certain way. I mean, do you look at that and think, yeah, we've made enormous strides in the last 10 years?
I think so, yeah. It's a confirmation that this way is not a wrong one. Everyone usually would complain that you educate young players and then 2 or 3 years later they will leave. Of course, it's something you can complain, but you can also take it as a compliment that the young players love to play for your club. And I would say we definitely take it as a positive situation. For example, give you an insight talking about FIFA. The kids who are playing Dortmund with a Dortmund jersey, who are playing Dortmund games in the Dortmund stadium, are coming mostly from abroad, which shows that we attract them, especially by the young players. And this is a perfect confirmation that our approach and our way is, say it like a British person, not the wrongest one.
And so has Sancho breaking out in the way that he has? And again, I think he's progressed faster than a lot of people would have expected when he first arrived. And him being English and in the England national team and being an English speaker, how valuable is that to the club on a commercial level?
Well, we never hire the guys because of some commercial potential.
But sure, but is it helpful?
It's better to have him here than to know that he might play for another club. Of course it's helpful, as long as he is such a good guy. He's a good person. He's a good character. Even as a young person, he might have made some slight mistakes, but look at his age, and he's such a great person. He's really, really helpful for the credible development of this club.
And so you're coming up to this 10-year anniversary of you at Dortmund. What do you expect from the next 10 years? How much further can you take it? How much further do you need to take it?
Well, we want to be ambitious, we want to be successful, but we still want to be authentic. We don't want to give up our identity. We want to be Borussia Dortmund. We never would try to experience commercial playgrounds just in order to get some money. For example, something like esports in our mind doesn't fit to Borussia Dortmund, okay, because we are a football club. Because maybe darts seems to attract the people around New Year, we never would open a darts department. Yeah. So we try to be as authentic as possible. We try to convince as many people around the world to become a Dortmund supporter, because the more people Dortmund will support, the more they probably will spend and invest in Dortmund. I would say, be humble, know where you're from, be down to earth, be authentic, and I'm very, very sure that something like this will attract the people, because time is always in a rush. All the clubs try to identify new business opportunities, and sometimes it's helpful if you have such a kind of puristic island in the world, and this is something we try to keep as long as possible.
And really, I mean, you couldn't change from it even if you wanted to, because Dortmund's authenticity is its brand, isn't it?
I would fully agree. Not I wouldn't, I do agree.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. Why One Question Time is a Stack production.